The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Frank Urban from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Salute a Veteran Every Day. And today's veteran is a Navy vet, Tim Fitzharris. Tim, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Glad I mentioned this morning. Proud to be here.
Uh-huh. And we appreciate you coming in on short notice. Tim, how did you and the Navy find each other?
Well, I was in dental school in the 70s, and a lot of my we were getting close to the end. I was a junior and started talking more about the end of dental school with a lot of my friends, and several of my friends were going into the service, Army, Air Force, Navy, and I thought that was a good way to go. I didn't have any aspirations for private practice at that particular point,
yeah.
And I thought it was a good opportunity to kind of get out, spot my wings, and see the world a little bit.
What school did you graduate from?
Graduated from the University of Michigan. Go Blue.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what time frame was this?
The 70s to 74.
Did you have a chance of going to Vietnam? Or was that on the horizon or something you were trying to avoid, like most of us?
My number was 73, so I would have gone had I not stayed in undergrad. But
yeah.
I stayed in Eastern Michigan for biology chemistry. I was able to just move ahead with the academics and got accepted to dental school right after Eastern Michigan's degree. So that's how that flowed. It was something that, and of course, by that time, the war was winding down, and
right,
I was in dental school. So it was a great opportunity to stay in graduate school.
What attracted you to dentistry?
Well, I was we couldn't afford haircuts. My mom was my most significant influence in my life. Because we couldn't afford haircuts, she cut my brother's, my hair. And she said, Tim, I think you could be a good dentist. I was 17 years old. I never forgot that. 9 years later, I was a dentist.
Oh, isn't that amazing? It's amazing.
We had good role models, you know, about four or five great role models, good folks, good dentists, and some faculty members at the University of Michigan. I grew up 10 miles away at Eastern Michigan's campus. So it was a pretty smooth flow.
It's so important to plant things like that in children's minds, things that they can aspire to.
Well, she knew me better than anybody, you know, and
yeah.
I was kind of artsy, enjoyed people, and had good hands, and very, very, very coordinated, good eye-hand coordination, and again, a little bit of art helped a lot. So, and again, the good role models was a good choice, and again, it kind of set my course after that one simple comment.
Oh, that's amazing. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
I love it. I try not to make this about me, but as a little kid, I remember peering through the fence at the White House and wishing I could just go in there and look around, and I ended up being assigned there in the Air Force for 4 years.
How about that? In the White House? Oh, my goodness.
Never would have believed it would happen.
Sure. Providence.
Tim, where were you stationed?
Well, these are great stories. Again, my whole premise of my entire life has been that God's directed me the whole way, and everything I have is because of Him. So after dental school, they had just opened a new clinic at Pearl Harbor, and they needed a fresh batch of dentists. And so, hey, Tim, how about Hawaii?
Tough duty.
Oh, baby. Yeah, yes, send me there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just luck of the draw. I just wanted to get out of the country, get out, just see the world.
Yeah.
I said, send me to Greece, send me to Italy, send me to Europe, send me anywhere you want. I just want to have some experiences and have some fun. So, yeah, Pearl Harbor was the first station.
Uh-huh. Were you married at that point? Or
yes,
no?
I was married my junior year in dental school, and we picked up, and my wife is a teacher. Went off to Hawaii in 1974, Pearl Harbor, stationed there, and lived in the middle of the island, a little town called Mililani Town. And people asked me after 40 years in the Navy, what was my favorite tour? It was numero uno, the first duty station.
Do you ever get tired of all that beautiful weather?
Yeah, they say it's commercialized, but you always have the sun setting, even though the palm trees blowing and the surf rolling in, you know?
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. It was a great opportunity.
How about at Christmas time? I've heard people say, and I know I was in Florida for 3 years, at Christmas time, you kind of miss the cold.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, it was Mele Kalikimaka, you know, it was Merry Christmas, and we just took over in the culture really well.
That is great. Any particular thing stand out as that you did there, fun wise or otherwise?
Well, I was, you know, basically I just really enjoyed athletics, and as mm-hmm. you know, so as I asked the Navy, I said, "You mean all I have to do is work 8 hours and go out and play again?" So it's tennis, racquetball, or golf, you know. It was just a sportsman's paradise. Got my scuba license out there, and
awesome.
Oh gosh, it was just really great. We rented the group of dentists rented a great big skiff, you know, out there in Waikiki, and you know, spinnaker surfing. It was just amazingly fun.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of sports. I made the racquetball team top four in Hawaii, and they sent us back to the West Coast for two or three tournaments. So it was
such
a good
a
go.
Deal. Yeah.
It was very, very entertaining.
Any children?
Yes, sir. We have two children. We delayed our family mm-hmm. until the third duty station, which was San Diego. So we have two kids. Mm-hmm. My son is also a naval officer,
mm-hmm.
and he followed me in the dental corps.
Mm-hmm.
So he right now is actually directing one of the largest clinics on the East Coast at Norfolk, Virginia.
I'm very proud of him.
He just made just selected to captain.
That's outstanding.
So he's right up there with the old man.
And for our audience that doesn't know, a captain in the Navy is like a colonel in the Army or Air Force.
You
know?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. What was your second assignment then, if that was your third?
Well, we thought, hey, we're having some fun, so why go into private practice, you know, bury ourselves someplace forever? And we took another, so let's just take another assignment.
Yeah.
So this is a tough one now. Are you ready for it? San Francisco.
Ah!
So, yeah, there's a little, actually a P-3 squadron based, they were anti-submarine warfare at the, in the San Jose area, in Moffett Field, that's what it's called. So we had 3 years there, and really enjoyed the San Francisco Bay Area. Again, the fun continued, the experiences continued around Patriots every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoyed the sailors. Great patience, you know, and you're never wanting in the Corps. It's just a great place to practice.
Mm-hmm. And what was schooling like for your children?
Schooling was really fine. We had mm-hmm. DOD schools in Okinawa, and we had kids. Public schools in Virginia, a parochial school in Chicago. So schools were just fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No problems at all.
Mm-hmm. What stands out in San Francisco?
Oh, just the fun of being in the San Francisco area. It's enjoyed going up to the city for some of our professional meetings and just seeing the general area. I got into hang gliding out there, and but of course, as soon as we got pregnant, my wife says, "You better tuck that kite away." So I never did it again.
Slowed things down.
It did slow things down, but it was hang gliding was fun out there, and the sports continued. And I enjoyed the P3 community. Is just the world's their backyard. So I'm an ornithologist of sorts, and got a flight up to Adak, Alaska, to photograph eagles. Eagles are up there. I went up to the ball field, and there was an eagle on every light post.
Mm.
So it was a great chance. The salmon were running, and that was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the P-3.
Well, the P-3 is a very, very reliable aircraft. It was we were in the, you know, the Cold War at that particular point, and they were anti-submarine trackers.
Yeah.
And they'd patrol the oceans,
mm-hmm.
and the world is a backyard. When I was in Hawaii, as a matter of fact, one of my racquetball teammates said, "Tim, let's go to Florida and fish for the weekend." I said, "John, we're in Hawaii." He said, "Yeah, I know." So sure enough, we brought back a cooler of fish, and that's just why it just that drew me in. It's just so many cosmopolitan experiences, you know, like put me in the co-pilot seat, flicked off autopilot, and oh my gosh, you know, started losing altitude real quick, but we recovered. So yeah, the P-3s, and I think I traded a bottle of Jack Daniel for a flight suit.
Uh-huh.
And you could just curl up in the back no matter how far, how long you fly, just go back, take a nap.
Yeah, you can usually find a comfy place on anything but a fighter jet.
Yeah, so it was a good experience, and just a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Golly, I can feel the excitement. What was it like growing up there in Michigan? Was it were you in a small town? Or?
Yes, I was a small town Catholic kid. Mm-hmm. Eastern Michigan is in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and we're just 10 miles east of the big campus, the big house, University of Michigan. So we didn't have, you know, my dad was a blue collar. My mom taught only because we couldn't, you know, we barely make ends meet. We were just making it, but we're having good old family times. My mom had 8 kids in 9 years, good old Catholic family.
Uh-huh. That's what we had.
Yeah. So, and 3 died as infants. My brother had an automobile accident. So there were 4 of us left in my teenage years. But growing up in Ipsy was, we had the university influence. We had the university professors. We had the factory workers, a lot of auto industry there, of course, in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
That's where I had my summer jobs. We had a river, the Huron River, running through the city, so it was kind of a Huck Finn environment as well. We had all the classes of America right there in Ypsilanti, and it was a great place to grow up. Mm-hmm. Went to a small Catholic school, St. John's in Ipsy, and at that time, all the parishes around the nation, Catholic parishes in the 50s and 60s, had their own schools. Mm-hmm. And so I made it through high school there, and good experience. And then Eastern Michigan, we had no money to go out of out of city to go to schools, and so we all got our degrees there right at Eastern, which is a wonderful liberal arts school, good science community, biology and chemistry degree, and was able to do some gymnastics and diving for Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord blessed me with some good coordination skills, and just being after work, after a day of studying, going on the trampoline and work out for an hour is just great. And then they took trampoline out of the NCAA sports when I was a sophomore. So diving coach said, "Why don't you come dive for us?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, sure, let's give it a go." So I dove for them for 2 years, and that was a great experience.
Yeah. I wish the people listening were of the age to maybe come into the military, because so many of them don't realize the opportunities, that you've had, that I've had. And it's really a wonderful way of life.
Oh, it's a terrific way of life, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It fit my bill really well. I wasn't destined for private practice, didn't want to be the butcher, baker, candlestick maker, and have all those responsibilities. And I wanted to have some travel and basically see the world, which is basically what we did through the military. And mm-hmm. the military dentistry was, there's absolutely no excuse not to do 100% perfect dentistry all the time. No accounts receivable. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it again, you had a bad day, well, just have it back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And great patriot patients.
That's funny. I always, throughout my career, doctors that I got to know, I'd say, what keeps you in the military? And like you say, well, no insurance to worry about, no bill keeping, no this, no that, and it's amazing.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, didn't they, you essentially present yourself with your talents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they facilitate you, they repair you, they hire, they fire for you. They give you state-of-the-art materials to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I took my faith right into the office and treated everybody because they don't know who they're going to get behind the green door.
Yeah.
It could be Godzilla, or it could be a person who really cares and loves his patients.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I tell them is, I know you've never met me, but I'm going to treat you just like my mom.
Oh,
how would you treat your
awesome.
Mom? Well, I treat her with respect, and that's exactly what you'll get here.
Mm-hmm.
And before they knew it, they were jittery at the first appointment, but the second appointment, they were falling asleep in the chair.
Mm. Mm. I love that.
Well, people know when they're being loved,
Yeah.
And,
treated with respect.
Yeah, brought Jesus to every patient that had the honor of treating.
And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to be respectful, and you feel better, too.
Oh, yeah, the patients. Yeah. And the word gets out, I was treating staff and wives, and
mm-hmm.
and they go back to their offices, and they'd, they had no problems with the good patients.
Yeah. and then how long did you put in?
Well, I had, statutorily, I could go 32 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to turn in the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, your reputation is so well established that they want the old timers to stick around the service because they still had the mission, but we didn't have the dentists. And so I took a contract after my retirement for 2 years, and then I got a government service job for another six.
So is that civil service?
Basically, yeah, government service is what I call GS jobs. And so basically it was uniform on Friday and no uniform on Monday, same job.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was just a blessing, a grace, you know, a God, just a wonderful opportunity to stay with something that you knew, that you enjoyed, and you really appreciated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was 40 years of service toward the Navy and being around sailors and patriots. But after 4 years, I was ready. I was ready to hang up the spurs and move on.
And what age were you at that point?
I was 66.
So you put in how many years?
26 to 66, 40 years.
Wow.
That was great. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
It was time.
Yeah.
And I didn't look back.
So we tend to miss it, though. I know I...
You do.
I swore when I retired that I would never be one of these guys that come back as a contractor or civil servicer. And I ended up going back as an instructor, and that ended up being the most fulfilling job I had in the military. I was in public affairs.
Wonderful.
And, you know, I just loved it, and I miss it.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
We go on bases that we travel. We, you know, I try to stay in the BOQs there, and we just enjoy being on base. There's just a certain feeling of, I don't know, patriotism.
Safe. You feel safe. Totally safe.
Safe. That's exactly right. Yep, everybody's yes sir, no sir, you know, and it's just what you miss.
A friend of mine, actually my best friend from college, he has now retired, but he was a professor at Elon University in Elon.
Okay.
And he happened to be up in Maryland and dropped in on me where I was teaching, which was at the Defense Information School.
Super.
And I said, Don, I have to go to this little meeting, but I'll leave you in my office, or you can walk around. And there were pictures on the walls and paintings and stuff. And I came back. He said, "Oh, wow! This everywhere I walk, people ask if they could help and calling me yes sir and no sir." And I didn't know this was going to turn into a recruiting video or sound. And to our audience, we're just reminiscing, that's all.
Sure.
Yeah,
the career is great. I think the Lord just had a plan for us that the first three duty stations are Hawaii, San Francisco, then San Diego. And so that we're at the 10-year mark, and So with training opportunities along with it, a residency as well as a master's degree that kind of came with the territory, it all built toward a successful career. And we enjoyed the duty stations, all the duty stations where we attended.
Well, and education is one of the things that you can go as far as you want.
You really can. Yeah, they're very, very supportive. To climb the dental corps ladder, it's basically a corporation. You know, you just kind of watch the buffets and the side rails and stay in the main lane. Bottom line was people who like people.
I like that.
So I took every collateral duty I could, and by God's blessing, we promoted.
Yeah.
And right on schedule. And the duty stations were very interesting. We had, after San Diego, both kids were born in San Diego, at Balboa there. And we, interesting story is that on the second day of our move out of San Diego, my wife's water broke. boxes everywhere, and mother-in-law there, you know, my God, off to the hospital. So, and, but anyway, I went to Yuma, Arizona, and first experience with the Marine Corps. Sound of Freedom every day. Just A4 is on in the air all the time.
Now, where did this fit into the timeline?
Well, it was duty station number 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, made commander, and then went out there, took over the clinic, and the Marine Corps, those Airedales, they work hard, but they play hard.
Yeah,
And then from Yuma, Arizona, the kids were still not in school yet. we were assigned to Okinawa, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him in the DOD schools there, 3 years in Okinawa, and with the Marine Corps again. And that was a very, very good adventure. We had a chance to see a lot of places. Mm-hmm. We got up to Korea and some pheasant hunting over in Jeju-do, Korea. It was just, I mean, not too many people, you know, get a guide dog and a guide hunting and pheasant hunting in Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, just those experiences that make themselves available, you know.
Yeah.
But you just up to Osan, Korea for our annual shopping trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
been there several times.
Yeah. So. You know, we're out. My wife and I don't travel too much anymore because we almost got traveled out when we were in the service. You know, friends of ours are going everywhere, and we just kind of like, I don't know if I'm interested.
Did you get any clothes made while you were in Korea?
Oh yeah, I got a jacket made and you know, a couple of sport coats and some items. It was just fun to be over there.
I was there on my last day, last night, and so I'd been over there for Team Spirit, which I don't know if the Navy participates in that. It was
yes,
a big, big exercise.
Yes.
And so I'm walking around, and I see the shop. Mr. O, I'd already bought a lot of clothes, and I saw the shop, and I went in and saw a flight suit jacket, flight jacket, you know,
yeah,
with the
sure.
orange inside and all that. And I'm looking at it, and he says, would you like this? I said, I'd love to. I says, but I have to leave in the morning. He says, I have it ready in the morning. I said, well, I'm leaving at 5 in the morning. And he stops and thinks for a while. He says, I'll have it in 2 hours.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that before.
And he,
oh my gosh.
He had it in 2 hours.
That's just phenomenal.
Kept walking around and so forth and went back and fit perfectly.
Yeah,
you know,
they
take the measurements, boop, 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 boop.
Boom.
So,
you're
bringing
story.
Back a lot of good memories.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Also, had a tour in the Philippines, and that, you know, you could get anything made. They're
yes.
very good at copying things.
Yes, we were open now. We got all our plaques from the PI.
Yeah, I had to have plaques made and then send them back to the U.S.
Yes.
for people.
And their quality.
Yeah.
Quality
oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
did their woodworking
still
very,
have them.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too.
I had a roll top desk made there, and I kept going back to the little shop to see how it's doing. Oh, we haven't started yet. We will. And this happened about 3 or 4 times, and somebody says, you have to give them a gift. So I went to the Class 6 store, that's a liquor store
yeah.
on base, and got a bunch of little Jack Daniels bottles, took it back, and said, and that was illegal to do, but, you know, everybody did it. So I took it back, and next thing I knew, that desk was finished.
that's a good story.
It was beautiful, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, lots of good furniture from there.
How about, did you get to Taiwan?
No, we didn't. Never did.
Yeah, that's a great place for clothing.
We made it to Hong Kong, Communist China, a little tour, and so... but no, we didn't make it to Formosa.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed it. But it was Hong Kong was an interesting experience. So.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. You have any sea time?
Yes, I had ship. My first ship duty was in San Diego. It was a submarine repair ship.
Uh-huh.
AS-47. So they never went to sea because they only make the taxpayers money when they're at port repairing submarines.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a few excursions, but not much. Just so the boat parkers can park the boat, you know, and things like that.
Well, I'm proud to say I have sea time on the USS Kitty Hawk.
I'll be there, yeah.
I took an Air Force film crew on there for... 6 nights and 7 days.
Oh, fun for you.
And really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And when it came time to leave, we had 21 boxes of equipment that we had to take out in a barge because it wasn't deep enough, so we were in a barge. And then the barge would be going up and down, and as it went up, you'd hand somebody the box, and they'd take it up the steps.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably not called the steps, the ladder.
Yeah.
And so then it was time to come back. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a real bag drag. And they said, would you like to be flown into Clark Air Base? And I said, yes, lovely.
You betcha, yeah.
And they put us in and took off with the, what they called the...
Yeah, the catapult.
Catapult, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a thrill. Mm. That was a thrill for an Air Force guy, any guy, anybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I was stationed in San Francisco, they... the Enterprise is up in San Francisco Bay, mm-hmm. and there, and well, a couple other carriers as well. In the back of that day, and one of the doctors, there are five doctors on the Enterprise, dentists, mm-hmm. and one of them had some family issues, and but they needed some carrier quals. They were getting ready for a deployment. And they had to get all the West Coast squadrons ready to go, so they had to qualify on a carrier before mm-hmm. they went to deploy.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked for a substitute to take over this doctor's watch while they went to the for 2 weeks for this carrier quals for these West Coast squadrons. And so I raised both hands. I raised my legs. So the highlight of my entire 40 years was going under the Golden Gate Bridge on the USS Enterprise for the 2 weeks.
Wow.
That was a memory I will never forget.
Real impression.
Oh, it's just whew. And then I got to be the dentist on the O-11. I was always walking. I was the dentist with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the whites of their eyes when they're coming in for their landings.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, the time has flown by, and I want to thank you for coming in on such short notice, Tim.
Yes, sir. Proud to serve, sir.
And great stories. Tim Fitzharris, I'm going to stand up and salute a veteran.
Booyah! So.
Thanks very much, there's
sir.
The salute.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks again, Tim.
All right, and have a good day to all your listeners and to you.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed today's edition of Salute a Veteran Every Day. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Frank Urban for the North Carolina Reading Service. See you next time. We'll be right back.